it's always amazing to me just to see, as you're baptizing people, the feeling of oneness, the feeling of community, the feeling of family. Because it's a special spiritual experience for them, but you just feel like it's you're part of it. And today, Pastor Gina was going to be preaching, and she said, you know, how would you feel about them sharing some? She goes, I'll preach next time, but how would you feel about them sharing? And I said, that's a great thing. Because I really feel it's something takes place. It's a physical act, but it's really a spiritual act. And there's things taking place when you're being buried with Christ into baptism. So you're going down in the water. When you're coming out, raised to walk in that newness of life. And before we had the baptism, we prayed for people. So we got in a group, and then we went to each one, and we actually prayed for each person. And it's great when we were at Lake Lanier. We had our own private beach, which was nice. But the day before, I asked the Lord to give me a scripture for each person. So that scripture was read to them before we actually put them into the water. And they'll be sharing that. And next to it, you'll see their scripture. Go to the next slide. So there was Blake that got baptized. And so if you know Blake, it was a wonderful thing. And Randall was there. But his scripture was, I loved when God specifically gives scriptures for certain people. It's, I picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear. I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip and keep a firm grip on you. And that's what God's done with that guy. You know, some of you have heard that testimony. What a powerful testimony he has, where God has taken him to a place of utter darkness into beautiful light. So to see him do that, that was just a wonderful experience. And then the next person that we had was Karen. And Karen's going to actually come up and she's going to share.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank God above for healing me. Because when I first started coming to church, I was on death's bed. And if it wasn't for TGBA, then I wouldn't have been healed. And I was ready to give my soul over to the Lord. He has really helped me, and I have come a long way to this point in my life. And I want to thank all of y'all for y'all just continue praying for me to keep on going.
Amen. Amen. And we actually had somebody that just came, and we won't, you don't have to get up if you don't want, but we were able to pray for Tracy, and it was great to actually have her join us yesterday. It was just a wonderful time. And then your sister. So this was funny. So Kelly's there to watch Karen get baptized, and she's all dressed in her, she's not in her bathing suit, and she goes, can I get baptized? So we said, yes, of course. So she came in, and we were able to actually to go ahead and I had an extra scripture in case we had somebody else, and God had the right person. And so she was able to come in and get baptized as well. And then the next person after that was Ruthie.
Good morning. I stopped coming to church in 91. I was angry, bitter, so I was done. I'd had enough. And I didn't step back in church until 2012, and it was here. And how many of us make deals with God? It's like, bargain with him. And I was at a point where it was like, okay, I've had it. Either you find me a church and let me know that you're still here, or I'm done. And so, but the stipulation was, I'll go to church. I don't want any friends. I don't want to care about anybody. I don't want anybody to care about me. That's the deal. So I found this church, and I was here for maybe 3 months, and I started looking around and seeing all these people that cared about me. And what scared me is I cared about them. And I panicked. I've always been a flight. I'm a runner. I've run my entire life from God, from people, from everything. And I sat there and I'm like, God, we had a deal. This is not what I wanted. And he's like, very clearly I heard, but this is what I wanted. And so I thought, okay. So I continued to come and be a part and everything, and was realizing that I haven't self-sabotaged. anything here. And that's what I do. That's what I've always done. I had something good in my life, and I would self-sabotage, and I would lose it. And then I got to blame everybody else because I lost it. It wasn't my fault. And when my mom passed, it'll be a year next month, I just kind of flipped out. My mom had been sick for many years. She had Alzheimer's. And I prayed that God just go ahead and take her. You know, she's raised all of us. She's loved my dad. She's loved God all my life. And my mom's prayer had been since 91 that I find a church and connect with God again. And I'm grateful to say that whether my mom knows it or not, her miracle happened before she left. And I'm very grateful to so many of you that have helped me and supported me and encouraged me. And January 7th, I almost ended things. I was trying to just stop the pain of losing my mom. And I took too many pills. I had been on Ativan for 5 years, and I had taken too many on the night of the 7th. It was about 12 o'clock midnight. It was cold. And I literally felt my heart slowing down. And I laid there and I was like, wait, I didn't mean to do this. This was an accident. Don't take me. And I went out in the parking lot, and I walked my parking lot for like 45 minutes because I didn't want to go. And it's my first time in my life that I was begging God, don't take me. Don't take me yet. I'm not ready. And since then, my life has been so different. My outlook, everything that he's doing. Next weekend, I'm leaving my apartment of 12 years. And it has served me well. And I'm very grateful for the time that I've had with it. But it's time to move on. And I have had a couple moments where I'm just a little unsure. But God has had me, and the transition has been so easy. Everything that has happened, it has happened so easy. And I'm like, God, thank you so much for always being there, always loving me, and always protecting my heart through everything. So yesterday, when I got baptized, it was the first time in my life that I was like, thank you for keeping me. And when I came up, it was like everything was so different. Everything was so clear. And I'm very grateful for everything. And all of you have had a big part of my life. And I thank each and every one of you.
Amen. Your scripture, is right on for you. He knows what he's doing. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future and a hope. That's so awesome. Amen. We love you too. The next person was Raymond. Woo!
Back in a couple years, I came to this church. I was dancing because I love to dance before the Lord, and I hurt myself in the process. But during that time of healing and being out of work for so long, it brought me closer to God. I realized that there was people there that loved me from here, that there was people there that could, they would take me to the doctor, they would take me to the grocery store. And I'm not one to have many friends or count on anyone. But then over these years, I've got closer to God, and I've been baptized before, but not like yesterday. Yesterday was different. It was like a refreshing, and as I was coming out of the waters, I just felt refreshed. I felt that refreshing spirit just come over me. But then this morning, as I was preparing to come to church, God gave me a word, one word. That word was renewal. And so I think he was telling me that this baptism yesterday was a part of a newer process that he is starting.
Amen. Amen. And then we have Emily. Woo!
All right, well, for those of you that know me, I don't speak in public, period. Just doesn't happen. My journey sort of started in a tree. Some of you know about the tree because you were there. Some of you do not. So, what, 5 years ago-ish, somewhere in that ballpark, let me rephrase this. A friend of mine said, hey, come volunteer at the marathon, handing out water and stuff, with a group of friends of mine. I was like, sure, why not? Yeah. Didn't realize this group of friends was an entire church. Got a little tricked into that one, but you know, everything happens for a reason. And so I got very uncomfortable at this event, so I decided to climb a tree, because I'm good at that. So I climbed a tree and sat there, and I don't remember which one of you said it, but somebody said Zacchaeus, and of course I had no idea who that was, and I was like, oh, well, okay, sure, crazy. You're calling me people I don't know who they are, but that's okay. So, you know, it all kind of started there. I started going to church with these friends, and everything just kind of snowballed over the next 5 years or so. And, you know, I'm a pretty private person. I don't really share my private life a lot, with the exception of the few friends that know me well. And those few friends know that I'm a control freak to the extreme. And I'm aware of this, and I'm okay with that. And Karen, God love you, puts up with it. but, you know, Karen and I have had a lot of stuff going on here lately, with jobs and trying to find a house and all this good stuff. And it's all very, very, very stressful. And I don't have any control over any of it. And that's very unnerving, I guess you could say. and, you know, this baptism couldn't have come at a better time. It didn't plan it this way, but it just kind of all sort of came together the same way. And this whole process has taught me to relinquish some of that control, which still is very difficult. Trusting that God will put everything together is very difficult for me. But I've learned over this very long 5 years that it will happen if you just give it to him. And he will line things up in a manner that you never thought possible. So that's kind of what this meant to me.
Amen. It's so funny. I love how God orchestrated this group, because every one of them were the ones that said, I don't like to speak. And everyone, thank you. Yeah, I remember that tree, Emily. Carmen was with me. I'm like, Zacchaeus? And she's like, yep, she's going to get saved. And sure enough, you're like, you guys crazy. And then you became one of us. So now it's wonderful. It was a wonderful thing. So there's two ordinances of the church that we follow, or sacraments, we would say. The first, one of them is baptism. We did the water baptism. And then the other is communion. You might know it as Eucharist. You might know it as the Lord's Supper. You might know it as the Lord's Table. But it really is a symbolic thing where you're celebrating the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So it involves two elements. It involves the bread. And when Jesus was, you know, this came from Passover, the communion did. So right before his death, it was during the week of Passover, he took the final communion with the disciples. So he's laying, reclining at this table. They didn't have chairs there, so then they kind of sat on the ground. And as they're about to take the bread, he's saying, and the neat thing about this is it's matzah. This bread was, it was pierced, so that bread had piercings in it at that time. So he's showing them that I'm going to be pierced for you. So he's saying, this is my body. And then when you break it, remember me. So as we take communion, we always remember the piercings that he had on the cross for our sins. Isaiah tells us that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. By his stripes we were healed. That bread had stripes in it as well as piercings. And healing comes from what he did on the cross. And then the second thing he did was he took the blood or wine. This is grape juice. But it still symbolizes the blood of Jesus. And he said, this is the cup. So take this and drink and always remember me. So as we take communion today, we want to make sure that we really remember what he did on the cross for us. The fact that he died for us, that he rose for us, and then the important thing, we always forget this, that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. You may not come from a Christian home. You may say, you know, I don't have a mother or father who prayed for me. You have Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for you. If you can't make it with that, you can make it with anything. He's got a direct line right there, and so do we, to him. He says, the Bible says he's our advocate. He is advocating for us on behalf of the Father. I love that. So what we're going to do is, as the worship team will come forward, we have communion here, and instead of passing it out today, we're going to have you come up. Same thing on this side, but I'm going to ask Pastor Jenny and Gina if you guys would come up forward as well. And the intercessor prayer team would come forward with me. And if you need special prayer for things in your life, take communion after, but make sure you come and get prayer first, and then you'll be. We can take communion after, okay? Let's, Father, go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you for that accomplished work, that blood that heals, that body that heals, that cleanses. We thank you. And Father, we take this in remembrance of you. And we bless you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.